This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, Oanda market analyst Kenny Fisher. And in the United States, it is Trader Nick. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon to you, Nick and Johnny.
Hey, guys.
It's been a very busy 24 hours. We've heard from the US Fed yesterday, the Bank of England today. And I suppose the big headline yesterday, guys, was the Fed cutting its growth forecast, with Jay Powell warning that President Trump's tariffs were certainly driving up prices. But the market reaction to yesterday's Fed decision, which kept interest rates widely as expected on hold, the market reaction was quite good.
Yeah, it was overall, it was a really positive day for the stock market. The NASDAQ at one point was up 2%, and many of the tech indices were leading the way. So we saw a lot of optimism, a much needed optimistic day for the stock market, which has been a rough place to be the last few weeks. And really, Johnny, there was a couple things that stood out that the market really loved about Powell's remarks. There's been this never-ending rotation of tariff headlines and, you know, Trump said this and so and so. So there was this need, this desire from the market to have some security, some stability. And I think Powell kind of gave the market that. In some ways, it was dovish, but it was also just a confident stance on the current situation. A couple key items that I took away while listening to the press conference. The dot plot was largely uninteresting. It pretty much came in as expected, a couple cuts this year. That really wasn't what got the market's attention. There's two big things that I saw out of the report that I think are worth mentioning. The one was that QT, the quantitative tightening that the Fed has been doing, the balance sheet, you know, reduction, they seem not too keen on keeping that too aggressive. What, long story short, the money printer is not going to, you know, stay off forever, basically. The idea that the Fed believes that they're restrictive enough and possibly even can get less restrictive seemed to kind of leak through in Powell's delivery. The idea that they want to reduce their holdings overall, the Fed, was a bullish take on that situation. If they feel that they can have more, you know, assets on their balance sheet, that is a positive liquidity driver for the rest of the market. So the stock market loved that. But the other thing, and this is what I really thought stood out to me, was Powell's comments on tariffs were stronghold of stability compared to what markets were afraid of. We really expected for the first time for Powell to give us some more hard answers on his expectations of tariffs, and we got it. And it was actually kind of positive. Again, the market's been so scared of tariffs, this idea that they're, you know, going to cause inflation, but it seems specifically that the economists of the world are debating whether or not tariffs will lead to kind of a one-time hike in prices and it will kind of level out from there and go back to normal, or if tariffs could lead to this kind of spiral in inflation and really spark the inflationary problem again. The interesting thing about that is Powell seemed to take the former. He seemed to pick up the word that he's put to rest for a little while, transitory. He said that the inflation problems that could be brought up by tariffs could be transitory, and he seemed largely not too worried about that. And so the bigger question was actually around growth. So some reporter had a snarky comment about his word choice of the word transitory, and I'm sure some viewers may have caught that. But he said, well, isn't that what you said last time? And Powell actually corrected him. It was kind of a really good smack back from Powell to this reporter, because he said, you know, isn't that what you said last time? And transitory wasn't. And he said, actually, in 2018, the inflationary effects of the tariffs that occurred there were temporary, right? They were transitory. Of course, the reporter was talking specifically about the COVID pandemic transitory word, which definitely got Powell into some hot water. But the point that Powell made, I think, that was really bullish to the market, was that tariffs are not scaring him on inflation too terribly much as the market is afraid of. And that discrepancy, that divergence from headlines that are scaring people about inflation, really caused a exciting up day for the stock market. Now, again, that's just one day, and new tweets and new things could be right around the corner. So we have to be careful. This market is still very volatile in the meantime, but a bit of a strong stance from Powell, not too worried about inflation from tariffs, and also pointing out that the labor market is still in a good spot. So seems that his focus and the Fed's focus is a little bit more tilted as of yesterday on the growth side of things, keeping labor data still strong, but that tariffs don't pose this ginormous inflation risk that perhaps the market was worried about.
I thought it was an excellent analysis of the meeting. I also noticed when you talked about tariffs that Powell in his press conference was talking about the uncertainty in the inflation forecast. As you mentioned, the Fed has forecast that inflation will go up while growth will go down. Powell mentioned that the Fed will be working on trying to figure out which part of inflation is due to tariffs and due to non-tariffs, which seems to be a bit of a tricky task. Something that caught my eye yesterday about the Fed meeting, actually after the Fed meeting, is President Trump again got involved. And I thought it was a bit ironic almost, because back in December during the presidential campaign, when the Fed cut rates, that was actually should have been something that would help Biden. Trump attacked the Fed for lowering the rates during his campaign. And yesterday, when the Fed left rates alone, Trump again attacked the Fed and said that the Fed should cut rates as, quote, tariffs are transitioning their way into the economy. So I think it's something we'll have to keep in mind, this political interference that Trump is want to do. And it looks like Jerome Powell will have to swallow a little bit and not react every time Trump really interferes with what the Fed is doing.
Okay, guys. So meanwhile, today we've seen, as expected, the Bank of England holding rates at 4.5%. We heard from Governor Andrew Bailey earlier, who said there's a lot of uncertainty at the moment, but added that interest rates remain on what he called a gradually declining path. He also said that the bank's rate-setting committee, the Monetary Policy Committee, said that global trade policy uncertainty has intensified. Obviously, that's a nod to Trump's tariffs. Perhaps if we hadn't had all this uncertainty about the tariffs, we may have seen a cut in rates. I know that when we've been talking over the last few days, guys, many suggest that the Bank of England will cut in May. Was there anything from today's words from Andrew Bailey to suggest that that is still on target? Kenny, what's your view?
Well, Johnny, I think it's a very good question. It's really hard to say. Right now, I'd be leaning on questioning if the BOE will be able to lower rates in May. And the reason I say that is because if you look at what the MPC said yesterday, they mentioned, noted, I should say, that inflation is up to 3% in January, and they're actually expecting it to rise to 3.75% by the third quarter. So it's not just a question of the inflation risks being to the upside. Inflation is actually going up and is expected to go further, which will again make it a problem for the bank to lower rates. As well, as you mentioned, the Bank of England discussed global trade uncertainty and mentioned the financial market volatility. As you mentioned, a lot of that is due to President Trump's tariffs. And as we discussed, I think last time, the UK was hoping to avoid the tariffs, but that hasn't happened. So I think in this kind of economic landscape, it's really going to be difficult for the Bank of England to lower rates in this environment, unless things change in the next couple of months. I think, and especially if inflation stays high, I think Andrew Bailey may have to once again pause and not cut rates.
And of course, the big problem is going to be stagflation, low growth, high inflation. We are here in the UK already behind most of the rest of the world in terms of interest rates. We saw the European Central Bank cut rates recently. Obviously, the Fed has done it over the last few months, but we're still at 4.5%, which is quite toppy, isn't it, for a lot of people, and makes the cost of living, indeed government borrowing, continually expensive and makes it tougher for the UK economy to climb out of this fairly tepid time. We're not quite in a recession yet, although we saw negative growth earlier in the month. We're not quite in recession, but I suppose there is a danger of that.
Yeah, and in the pound, I mean, just generally speaking, has, as you mentioned, gone into a phase where, okay, we've got high inflation, low growth, and it's a pivotal time because, you know, in history, most time periods, you don't see stagflation. Like stagflation is a very small amount of time relative to either a cycle where you're seeing low inflation to high growth, or you're seeing low growth, low inflation, right? Usually inflation high doesn't last too long, because if it does, it usually, you know, completely ruins an economy. So when we look at history, stagflation, it's a pretty pivotal time for the UK, as it is for many places, because something's going to give, right? Either inflation's going to cool and, you know, we might be entering into a growth slowing period. That does not necessarily mean recession. I don't think we can jump to that full-blown conclusion. But if inflation stays high enough for long enough, it may tilt more towards a recession, right? Same thing in the US. UK, US, similar story. Although I think the UK, as you mentioned, has it a little bit worse because they're a bit behind on the progress of getting interest rates down. But yeah, no, it's an important crossroads here, where if you stay at a high inflation, high interest rate for too long while you're experiencing slowing growth, that can very quickly tilt into actually recession territory. Again, that's why we don't usually see stagflation be a super prolonged period of time, because usually it tilts either into a full-blown recession where inflation comes down, but it's for the worst possible reasons. High layoffs, low employment, those things are nasty. We don't want that at all. So usually it tilts one way or the other. So let's hope, for you know, the sake of most economies, that we see growth pick up and inflation globally cool. I mean, one thing that we can maybe rest our hats on and hope for the best is with the Russia-Ukraine thing. If oil prices can stay at bay, right? One thing that would be ugly for the global market would be a big shock to oil prices, right? So let's hope that, you know, we do continue to see oil prices lower. But some mixed, the geopolitics, of course, play a big role in that, right? What's happening in the Middle East, what's happening in Ukraine and Russia. Keeping an eye on that will be really key to where the progress of not just the UK, but globally, where inflation goes next.
You mentioned, I think quite rightly, it's a pivotal point right now in the UK. And I think perhaps Johnny can weigh in on this as far as living in the UK. Is it's not just a question for the Bank of England, what's going on, but it's also for the UK government, which is looking to raise taxes and cut spending. And that could really hurt the economy and cause inflation. So I think the stagflation fear is something that the UK government, especially Rachel Reeves, the finance minister, has to really be very concerned about as she tries to continue with the proposed budget.
Of course, next week we're going to have this spring statement, which is like a mini budget. And she is under an immense amount of pressure. Apparently, there's going to be some cuts in benefits, which for a Labour government is quite unusual. And bearing in mind that they promised at the last election not to raise basic taxes like income tax, like VAT and so on. But of course, in the end, they raised a national insurance on employers tax, which has been a very controversial step, because they say that's a major problem for growth because it's cost business a lot of money. So she's under a lot of pressure to find the money to fill this black hole that they talk about. They're blaming the previous administration, the Conservative administration, for something like a £28 billion black hole. But because of all the other factors that we're talking about in recent weeks, and now the tariff factor, it makes it all the more complicated for Rachel Reeves and the Labour government. So it will be interesting to see what she announces next week in the spring statement. But apart from this cut to benefits, which is apparently meant to raise £5 billion, that's not going to be enough to fill a particularly large black hole. We'll wait and see. So Nick, Kenny, thank you so much for joining me today. We'll speak to you again very soon.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.